and welcome back to the Cove Podcast. We are the creators of beautiful experiences, and my name is Norina. I'm the marketing manager here at Cove in Munich, and I'm guiding you through today's episode. As you might have noticed, today we start right away in English, because our topic today is most likely not only of interest to our German listeners, because today we have once again invited our founders so that they can take a look back at the last 10 years that have passed since Cove was founded. And 10 years is really a long time in which definitely a lot has happened. I can imagine that there were ups and downs that were not so easy to overcome. And I can't wait for you to share some of the lessons you've learned over the past years while building an agency that now has around 90 people. Wow. But for now, welcome back you two. Daniel, Felix, it's great that you're sharing your experiences with me and our listeners today. We have to celebrate a lot this year. 10 years have passed and the agency is growing and growing. And even though the listeners may already know you two, a brief introduction can't hurt.
All right, will do. Welcome to you, Nono, and thank you for taking over the podcast from Kata, who had been in charge for a couple of episodes already. And we're glad to kick this off together with you. I'm Felix, I'm one of the founders, and I'm the so-called foreign minister at Cove. I'm in charge for sales and marketing and business development and everything that's like, that goes to the outside, shaping Cove's image in the world, in the market. Yeah, that's what I'm happy doing. My special interest is organizational design, like holacracy, how to form an organization to stay resilient and to adapt fast to the changes in the market, in society, in the world at all. And my baby, my last creative resort, so to say, is our UXI method, which I mainly, together with Pam and other colleagues from Cove, developed during the last 10 years. That's where I still can get creative. Unfortunately, I still get to do that as the last creative thing as a designer at Cove.
Was this supposed to be the short intro, Felix? So
I have a long version.
So I'm Daniel. I'm also one of the founders, designer by heart, and responsible at Cove for all clients, client management, account management, and all the projects and the team working on the projects. And also I'm responsible for our people and culture department. I guess with both Felix and me, we definitely have a lot of leadership lessons to talk about.
Thanks for the quick round of introductions. Then we dive right into the topic without even longer preface. What is your number one lesson learned by both of you?
I mean, firstly, I can't even believe it's already 10 years. It still feels like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, but like 10 years. I don't know if we ever would have believed that we're still going to exist in 10 years. And if yes, we certainly wouldn't have believed that we will be 90 people in two offices, one in Germany, one in Croatia. It's just incredible. And still, sometimes we talk and look at our 90 Cove's and we're like, when did that happen? How did it happen? And it's incredible. Looking at how we have developed as personalities, Daniel and I running the company, but also this is not only Daniel and I, it's also Felix Menzel, who has become a managing director now, who's been with us for over 8 years, I think. Then Ines, who runs our Cove Osijek office, who's been with us for over 5 years, who's also a managing director. Every other Cove, every other individual that is part of this Cove organism, from the day they joined us, has grown. Since we're the founders, of course, our journey is the longest. We've learned so many lessons. I mean, just imagine Daniel was like, I don't know, he was on paper 25.
16.
In his mind, he was still 16 when we started the company. I was in my early 30s and we did have zero experience or even background or how to run a business, how to build a business, how to scale a business, nothing. I had a training in project management. That's why I was in charge from the beginning of like finances and legal and controlling and everything. We learned everything from scratch besides the design part, which we were really good at from the beginning. But yeah, we talked about this before. It's been 10 years now. And the number one lesson I think for us is that it's important to stay true to yourself, to listen to your heart, to listen also to others, but bring others' meanings and opinions into context. I think also a good thing we did is that we shared everything equally amongst the founders. We have equal shares in the company, and we all of the time had to make the major decisions unisono. So we had to all have the same agreement and opinion on a topic. When we agreed something, it had to be 100% of the founders agreeing. That has been a good model. We have the same model for Kickbase. We have equal shares in the company. Yeah, but at the end, it was staying true to ourselves, trusting in ourselves, trust in each other, in the founders team, giving everyone the right amount of freedom to act, not to be too controlling of the other ones. And even if they had like phases where they were not as performing as well and because of private issues, every single one of us had a phase where there was something wrong in their private lives or it was just turbulent, where we didn't perform so well in the company, but we, the other founders, always held space for that. So we really had each other's back all of the time. We just trusted our instincts. We listened to our hearts many times. Sometimes we listen to our hearts too much, so we made some important decisions way too late. But at the end, I think, why are we still here after 10 years? Why was last year the most successful year in our history? Why is this going to be even better? Is because we just had stamina, we had grit, we stayed with it, even in tough times. In 2018, we were close to not going bankrupt, but we were facing tough times, very turbulent. There were many times when we could have looked each other in the eye and say, we need to close the company or we need to lay off some people. We were many times talking about closing the Austec office because it just didn't work the way we imagined it to work. But we stayed true to ourselves. We said we trust the way we think this is going to work and we stuck to it and we had grit. And I think that's the most important trait of a founder, in my opinion, is to have grit and not to run away when times are not as pleasant as one wishes. Right, Daniel?
Maybe. Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. That would definitely be also my number one. But I would also add patience. Yeah. As you said, we faced several times different terrible situations where we didn't know how to, or should we go to direction A or direction B. I think not then reacting immediately and defining, okay, that's the plan where we want to go, but being a little bit patient, thinking about it, thinking about the different options. As you said, maybe it took us here and there a little bit too long, but I think in the end, it was good for us to then talk more about the different opinions of us, you, Felix, my perspective, Anatole's perspective, the team's perspective, our external advisors' perspectives, to then decide on that basis of information on how to proceed. And I think that also adds up to the stamina topic and just trusting then ourselves how to proceed with Kobe in different situations. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think another thing that we were really good at, that we didn't have like the biggest balls in the room, so to say, frankly put, we always try to hire people that do certain things better than we do. I think you can only do this if you're like aware of your own strengths. And that's something I think that we always were. We knew what we were good at and we knew what we sucked at. Not in the beginning. At the beginning, we thought we can do everything ourselves, but we pretty quickly learned that hiring people that are better at the many things that we're not good at is a really smart move. And that's what we did. That's how we found all the people that are in our leadership circle today. And that was just a very important point, even to hire people that are smarter than us. This is, might be scary in the beginning because you don't want to admit, okay, this person is way smarter in that area than I am. But at the end, if we put our strengths together, we can only grow together. And that's why this was also an important factor. Yeah, just to hire people that are smarter than us. It's something Steve Jobs coined many, many years ago. But also, I think what we also learned is that culture is king. especially for us. We're a people business. Our assets are the people we have. So it is so important that the people we have, the 90 Kobes we have today, that they respect each other, that they trust each other, that they have the feeling that they can progress at Kobe, with Kobe. And that means working efficiently together and at the end also having a lot of fun together, because the time we work is lifetime. It's a big part of our lives. That's why we call ourselves Creators of Beautiful Experiences. When we work together, we want to create beautiful experiences for our clients' clients, and also for us as the Kobes that work together. And that's why it's so important. You cannot emphasize culture too much, not for our business. We had some points where we had some people working at Kobe that we felt changed the culture, which doesn't have to be a bad thing in the beginning, but we at some point sensed that they were changing the culture in a direction that we did not think was the right direction. In these cases, we pulled the trigger not fast enough. We waited way too long until we sat together with these people and said, hey, look, we appreciate you as a person. We appreciate the quality of your work. We appreciate the way you approach things and you think about things. And we also appreciate the way you interact with other people. But this does not work well with the way we believe coworkers should interact with each other. So that's something, that's a learning. That's something that we are trying to have on our radar way earlier today. If there's something that is a threat to our culture and that we need to change, and acting fast on those changes. Like there's this book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things. Sometimes you have to, especially as a managing director or as a leader, you have to make hard decisions that hurt people. But these decisions have to be made, because for example, deciding that one person needs to leave the company might have a really positive impact for many other people in the company, because they see, okay, the way this person is does not fit our culture. It's not the way we want to work together. So this hard thing to do, laying someone off or deciding to part ways, can be a positive sign for many other people in the company. That's, I think, something we learned. These tough decisions, they hurt. And I remember the first time we laid someone off, I was not able to attend that meeting because I was feeling so stressed and I was about to throw up because I felt so bad telling that guy, dude, you have to leave. Our expectations don't align. But the person was happy to leave. He felt he was in the wrong place and expectations didn't align. So at the end, it's usually a good thing. But that's something I learned. Usually when I'm reluctant to make a hard decision, this decision is very important and I really have to push myself to make this decision.
Yeah, totally. So I also think that the moment when we handed over a lot of our responsibilities to the team, we had a very young team at the beginning. We made it really clear to us, but also to the team, that we want to grow and that we want to, as you said, deliver the team or creating an environment for the team that they can grow and that they also can and should be responsible for stuff. And they wanted to be responsible for stuff. And at that moment, when we handed over a lot of our responsibilities and we're not the only ones deciding on all the important to-dos, like talking to someone that maybe should be a good thing to leave Kobe or not, which is hard. But the moment we shared the responsibilities with the team and we had a lot more people to talk about and discuss topics like, what about situation X? What about person Y? The better the decisions and the decision making got, and the faster we also defined then how to go on. But as you said, yeah, definitely. So we definitely had to learn what it means if there is a little bit of toxic in the culture, how the culture and the team then reacts to that over time. Because as you said, we didn't study that. We had no experience in that. So we had to see how was our team at that moment reacting on that. And I think, yeah, out of this learning, we established then a lot more processes and tools on avoiding to get into the situation again, like having a lot of feedbacks and also improving the recruiting process and in general, creating a culture where people can and should be really honest and talk about things way earlier than just waiting for months and then exploding and so on. So I think we had some good learnings out of that.
Definitely. And I think that's one big thing we learned along the way, and especially when we introduced Holacracy as an organizational model for our company, at least in Munich, is that the idea of working with tensions, when somebody sees that something is not working right in an organization, right? Learning that a tension, somebody sensing that something's not working right is something good for the organization. I think that was also a major mind shift for us, because usually when there's a problem, you're like, oh, damn, there's a problem again. Now we have to solve this. But with Holacracy as an organizational model, we really encourage people to have to open their eyes, to look at the way we work together, at the organization, the way we're set up, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. Look at all this. Have an open eye for things that are not going well or that could be better. So having this idea of telling everyone, keep your eyes open. And if there's something that you see or sense that's not going right, that could be better, please address it. Tell it to everybody or in your circle or to your lead link or whatever it is. But this idea of seeing tensions as something positive, as an opportunity for an organism to adjust to certain circumstances, to, as I said, just technology changes, this is something that we need to address. So this mind shift of Kobe being a resilient organism that has to adapt and change all the time anyway, because things just change so fast, enabling and encouraging all employees to look at tensions all of the time in order to be able to adapt quickly. I think that was a major mind shift for us, a shift in perspective, which was also important. And today we say we're constant beta. We're never done because, as I said, things are always changing. We always need to adapt and we have to accustom to a state of organization, seeing us rather as an organism that's constantly changing thanks to the impulses that every single employee gives all of the time, ideally. That was very important for us because it also gives a lot of power and the potential for impact to every single employee. Every single employee can address tensions all of the time and say, look guys, we do this way right now. Here is a technology that changes everything. We have to do it in a different way tomorrow. This will be then facilitated, this tension, and the organism will most likely change and we will adapt processes or workflows or whatever. Just looking at Kobe as an organism, that was also something that we learned thanks to all these new work models, and which is an important idea that's in everyone's head at Kobe at the time.
It was so important to throughout Holacracy to create the space and time for people to facilitate or address tensions, because I mean it's so easy to not talk about tensions and go into conflicts, because they're in the moments you want to talk about, there are 10 hundreds more important to do to focus on, and then you don't push yourself into the direction to address these conflicts. And then in person as well, which is then another step, huge step for some people to talk about in person with someone face to face about a conflict. But it was so good for us because, I mean, we are a digital agency, so our calendars are full. We go from one meeting to the other, one project, and on the other, there's not much time and space to address a lot of tensions and conflicts. But then as we implemented Holacracy and these meetings, this was huge success, to be honest, yeah.
I love how the podcast runs all by itself without me having to say anything. It's great that you have so many things right at your fingertips that you've drawn lessons from. So number one is be patient, be persistent, and trust in the partners by your side. And to sum it up very briefly, what is very important is hiring people who simply have more experience in some things and also let go of control sometimes. Then the culture. Make sure that everything stays in order between the employees, even when people leave and new ones join. If you notice that something is developing in the wrong direction, act quickly. So you always have to be aware and not let blind spots develop. The company structure can support this. In the structure like Holacracy, transparency and 100% clarity are very important. Otherwise, it cannot work. Communication is key. Tensions are addressed immediately so that nothing can pile up too much, which could possibly become a big problem later on. Okay, so I hope I caught all of the points you mentioned. These are mainly lessons that are related to the company and its growth, but I am still interested. Have there been things that have brought you personally a whole step further?
Yes, very good point. So at one point when the company has reached a certain size, I think the ceiling for the growth of your company is the growth of the management. That's also something I think if we started a business again, or if I could tell something to the Felix 8 years ago, or and Daniel and Anatol, of course, I would tell them, guys, get a mentor, get an advisor as early as possible. We founded this agency, we were 4 designers, no business background, nothing. We didn't know about how to do sales. We didn't do any sales in many years, which was a mistake, of course. I mean, it still worked, but we got so caught up in our daily business that optimizing our business and maybe new fields to do business, we forgot to do sales. I think that's one of the mistakes many startups make. One advice I would give to our younger selves is get a mentor, get an advisor that helps you. I think after 4 or 5 years, we got in Joachim Bader as an advisor, and he like pulled our ears, really told us, guys, you have to get your numbers together. This is like, this is all bullshit. You can't only have a liquidity plan for 4 weeks. This needs to be at least 13 weeks. And all these, really having a close look at the numbers, have a proper controlling. Because the bigger we got, the more risky it is not to know your numbers by heart. At one point, our monthly burn rate reached 100,000 euros, 150,000 euros. And that was when bigger project, a client project, would have a volume of 250,000. So if all projects would have stopped, we would have been dead after 3 months or 2 months. And that's not good. We didn't have any, as I said, liquidity planning, controlling installed. And that's where we made the right decision to get external help with that. And that's not the only thing that we needed help with. We needed help with sales, marketing, all that stuff. And at the end, we also pulled in Niels Dörje, which is also on the board now, who also, again, helped us with mindset topics. Also Joachim, who was already on the board. At the end, the growth of the company ends where the mindset, the ideas that the founders have, and the experience that they lack, where that ends. Advisors, mentors can help founders and managers to grow, to broaden their horizons, to think about new ideas. That's a mistake we made, that we were really too fond of ourselves. We thought we could do everything ourselves, and we should have pulled in advisors and mentors way earlier. Now that we have them, we cannot thank them enough for all they have contributed to Kobi, the business, but also to Daniel, Anatol, and Felix, to our personalities. The way we think now, the way we act also as leaders, for a long time, we didn't see ourselves as leaders or bosses. We were part of the team and we were on eye level with everyone. But at some point we understood, okay, we founded this company and we have an idea where we want to go with the company. So that means we also have to lead our people. We are leaders because we founded it with the energy that ignited in the beginning when we founded a company. And our people ask us to lead them and they want to know from us, where are we going? How will we get there? Why are we doing all this, right? That's something that we also learned along the way. People want us to lead, and that it's a good thing to lead and not be, of course, a part of the team, but not necessarily. We more or less saw ourselves as another designer or a salesperson, but we are the founders and we're the managing directors. And this thing is working because we had this idea. And this thing is working because we have our personalities and we have the way we work and interact with people, because we know, or we have a pretty clear picture where we want to go. We are happy and fond and proud that we are able to lead such a team of brilliant and warm-hearted individuals that we have put together right now as Kobi.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the goal and our job is to lead the company, that we need time to think about on how to lead the company, because especially at the beginning, the first years, we just were super stressed out, had to work on projects, had to learn how to hire people, how to maintain clients. So we were always in the daily business stress. We just had no time to think about on how to lead the company. And the important thing that you mentioned, Felix, about our external advisors that bring us a lot of inspiration and also help us on de-risk our business, helped us to make that step. I think that's very important and definitely applies to me, making the decision and the step to get rid or being obsolete on being also in the operative business as a designer, as a design director, like handing it over and then focusing more on the management side was a very important personal step for me to have more time and freedom to think about the more critical and more important topics on how to lead our company together with you, Felix, and not be that of a bottleneck in the operative business. And that's why we also decided, of course, from the beginning, we want to grow as Kobi. We didn't say that we want to be 90 people, which is crazy, still crazy. Decided definitely to grow. That just came then with the flow of growing that we had to step back and be more on the high level.
Okay, so with increasing growth comes more responsibility, and I think it is only logical to get help from the outside.
We had our ideas, but our mindset was so narrow, and having a mentor means you tap into the intelligence and the experience of that person, and a mentor usually is an experienced person in the field. It completely changed the way we looked at certain things, the way we communicated with clients, the way we communicated with the team, the way we communicated with ourselves, our self-talk, and the way we communicated with each other in the leadership team. So it was just a major win. Of course, you can still say, hey, dear mentor or advisor, this is your opinion. I think differently. It's your company, right? But getting that additional perspective, it's worth a million.
So you have mentioned our office in Osijek, Croatia. Were there any obstacles at any time? Is there anything that you would do differently with today's knowledge?
I mean, something we learned, definitely, we learned one big lesson. As I said, we were close to closing Kobi Osijek because it was not profitable at all. It just didn't work. But that was mainly our fault, we found out at the end, because we wanted to control the Osijek branch 100% out of Munich. So we had one guy that was the proxy person, so to say. The one guy in Munich was responsible for the whole Osijek team. We changed management. We had one guy being in charge for the Osijek team, but still everything, Kobi Munich was controlling what the people were doing there, right? And telling them what to do and how to do it. At one point, we said it was already Ines in charge at the time. Ines, we trust you and your leadership team. Do the things the way you want to and the way you think is right. Please, you decide. You tell us how you want to do it. We can give you our perspective. So we switched to the more like advisor or mentor role in that case. And we said, okay, you Osijek gang, do the things the way you think is right. So we gave them maximum responsibility, that it just worked. From that point on, it took off. From that point on, it was super profitable. They got their own clients. They made some suggestions on how to design the process between design and development. But they changed some things in the organizational design. We hired designers down there, and we have like whole product teams down there right now. And we're targeting to a slightly different target group when it comes to our clients' segments. That was one of the best decisions we made, to let go of control, to wanting control that branch, and tell them, guys, go do it the way you want to. And that just worked. It was risky, of course, because we let go of pretty much 100% of control. But at the end, it was the right move, because Croatia and Munich, it's different cultures. It's different ways of thinking. It's not like completely different, but there are slightly different mindset and cultural aspect. For example, we have more like family people in Osijek. We have developers there. They are different to the designers. And in Munich, we have mostly young people in their 20s. No families yet. Daniel and I are the only people with kids in the Munich office. No, there's also one more, Julia. But still, it's different cultures, slightly different cultures. And we just let them run, and that worked. I see many startup founders or managers, they want to control, and it's not easy to let go of that. Because, I mean, it was back then half of our staff. Today, it's 2/3 of our headcount. But like letting go and giving up control and trusting them, and showing them that we trust them, and giving them the power to change things, to have impact. That was one of the best moves we made in our history. I wouldn't say this is a general tip, like best practice. It heavily depends on the team you have. With Ines and the management team down there, we really believe that they can pull this off.
It seems that Ines was a real blessing. Great that it has developed so well. Okay, so that was quite a lot, but is there any final advice you would like to give to new founders. I once heard something from you. Don't start a second startup if you are still a startup.
Because looking back now, the second startup we founded is now a massive success. So I don't regret. But still, we had, I don't know, 12, 14, 16 hours every day of working on both companies, which was crazy. It's pretty crazy to start a new business. So it was just, we were young, we were very naive, I'd say. And it was great. It was a pioneer experience. I mean, don't found a startup while you are still a startup. It's hard for me. What would you say, Felix? It's hard to say, don't do it.
It worked. It worked, but I would never do it again. I mean, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. I mean, we founded Pobi in 2012. We sat together at weekends. We said, look, we're all designers. We can pull off another startup. So we founded Kickbase or Kickstarter back then and said, this is easy. We created a mock-up and we looked for investors and it just worked because we were so enthusiastic about it and we had so much energy. But it also almost killed us because it was four founders and we had different roles in both companies. And after a year, we just went crazy and we lost it. That's when we decided, okay, Ante, Anatol, you take care of Kickbase because we really were able to focus. If we would have been two founders, it probably would never have worked. I think that was one reason why it worked. But again, I mean, it worked, but I wouldn't do it again because we did not have focus for a couple of years at all.
And also maybe important, maybe to add, so no time for ourselves, but also no time for our loved ones and family and friends. So I mean, that was the trade-off, to be honest. Like nearly most of the day in business or two businesses, you lose time on working on your relationships, whether it's family or friends. So that's maybe also a tip to not get it out of your focus, to focus on that as well.
I think we have it. But let me ask you one more quick question. What do you think? Is it wise to start your own agency at such a young age as you did? Does it bring a certain lightness that you might miss later on?
Well, I mean, founding young has some benefits because you just have a lot of time and a lot of energy. Now I'm 41, I couldn't pull this off, not at all anymore, the way we did it. I see Daniel also getting old. Finally, the experience that you don't have, for that you have like the power, the motivation. We just went for years. We just went full throttle 24/7. Of course, you can only do this if you have a partner that is okay with you doing this for a couple of years. Now we're having families. We could not do it the same way now. We did it back then. Of course, now we have way more experiences. We have more financial resources. So we could, if we founded something new now, we'd probably hire a couple of people from the very beginning that would take over some of the things that we did back then and probably do it way better and more efficiently. It has good and bad sides, founding young. Would I do it again? Yes, I would do it again because it worked 1 year into having founded the agency. But again, we had the grit. We had the resilience. We had most of the time, we had our focus. We stayed open with ourselves. We were not focused on authority at all. I think that was also a good thing. We always put culture first. We're the creators of beautiful experiences. We never took things too seriously. And I think that's a very, very important trait also. I mean, sometimes we took things too lightly. That's when shit almost hit the fan at one point. We were like, our numbers weren't good. We weren't profitable enough. We weren't economically stable. But at the end, we said, okay, worst case, we'll have a lot of debt from our bank. We always took things lightheartedly. I think that was important also to show this to the team. It's an experience and a project we have together. It might end well, it might not end well, but no matter how it ends, at the end, no matter what, that's what happened. And that was always our mindset. Even if we go bankrupt, the experience we had is the experiences we gathered and the people we met are priceless. That was always our mindset. And that's, I think, what the team always felt really established during their years. And that's what we're proud of, because that's a big part of our culture, that we're here to have beautiful experiences together and to create beautiful experiences. And that's just the way it went. Beautiful.
That's a nice way to end it, isn't it? We, as the creators of beautiful experiences, should always have beauty in mind. So thank you both for sharing a little bit about the lessons you've learned over the past years. Maybe your tips will help one or two others. I'm looking forward to see what the next 10 years have in store for you as our bosses and, of course, for Kobe as a company. So thank you again and, yeah, have a good time.
Thank you, Nono.
Thank you, Nono. Bye-bye.